Hello, welcome to Other People's Kids, a podcast about Andy and Joey's adventures in fostering and adoption.
Hello and welcome to everyone who is discovering this podcast. Hope you enjoy it and good to have you.
Yep, we're two dads talking all things fostering, adoption, parenting and more. Welcome to the podcast. You find us
first ever tour pod,
first ever pod tour, and we're not in our usual destination, which is our garden offices. We are in, where are we, Andy?
We're in a field in Somerset.
It's a lovely field. It's a lovely view. It's been, I think, the hottest day of the year so far.
Could be the hottest day ever in history. We've literally been sitting with sun all day. It's been roasting.
It was so hot that Andy cut the sleeves off of his t-shirt, which gave him a good look, I thought, today, which was nice.
You didn't embrace the look, did you?
No, I didn't. No. It's a good look. But welcome to the podcast. We are coming from Frome in mid-Somerset, and it is absolutely wonderful and beautiful. So today we're doing a couple of things. But before we kind of get into our podcast business, I think we need to recognise the third wheel, or the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
So a big secret we haven't yet revealed with you is that we have a third member of our 25-year-plus relationship, and his name is Craig, and he's with us this evening.
Welcome, Craig.
Hello. That was some introduction.
It was. Craig is generally a very good egg. So Craig has been friends with Andy for longer than me.
I think we were friends in primary school, or middle school. So we were about 10. So we're probably 30-plus years.
Maybe, yeah. Could be.
You are both a bit older than me, so there, that would make sense. That's the theme.
Months and weeks. But yeah, we are older technically than you.
Well, welcome, Craig. So just for the podcast listeners, do you want to share a little bit about yourself? So what your family situation is and kind of what you do?
Yes, well, I'm married to my wife, Rachel. And we've got two lovely children of our own. But yeah, we've been married 15 years, me and my wife. Had children a little bit later into our relationship, but we're having a lovely time really of it with our family. Just the whole thing, just going through the motions of life together.
And you do a really interesting job, don't you, Craig? So you work in, what sector do you work in?
Well, it depends now. Is it defence or?
He works in IT. So we'll move on from that, shall we? Harsh. Now, you work in IT, but more interestingly, you've recently done some training and volunteered for, is it Safer Families? Well, tell us a bit about that.
Yes. So my wife and myself have obviously looked in on things like fostering and adoption in the past, but we've always found ourselves coming around to, we didn't feel it was quite the right time to do that. A few weeks back, maybe a couple of months ago now, actually, Rachel was in church service, and a lady was doing a presentation about it again, and it just sort of got us remembering about this. So we were thinking, it was early on with our eldest, a couple of years in, we were thinking of possibly fostering, but put it on a bit of a back burner after a while. So coming back round to this opportunity to save families, we've just been putting ourselves through training the last few weeks really with a view to being a host family for a child perhaps.
So what exactly is Safer Families, and what is it you'll be sort of doing to support sort of children through that?
So Safe Families, for anyone who doesn't know, is it's an organisation basically that looks to put people with families who are in, I say, difficulty perhaps, or in crisis. They need a bit of extra support. They might be known to social services, not always, and they might get referred to Safe Families. And what they look for is basically people who can host or friend befriend them. So it might be a case of just spending some time with the family, help them out with a couple of things, but also it could be taking someone's child, if you know for a couple of days, or maybe just for we're looking initially just to maybe take a child out for an afternoon or a morning, just to give a little bit of respite to a parent. But it's identifying those who often fall into difficult situations, may not have support networks around them. There's quite a few different scenarios you get with that, but our eyes were open to it. It was like, oh, that's quite interesting, actually, because the things we were looking perhaps to get into, this is sort of before it gets to that stage. We enjoy our family, so it's like, well, a bit of extra capacity. We'd love to sort of delve into that a bit more and explore what could be done.
So kind of like a preventative measure, really, trying to support those families where they might be on the edge of care, likelihood of social work involvement, and trying to stop them ending up in that situation where the kids go into care in the first place.
It could be quite broad, but it could be that as well. The main thing that we got was the whole thing was very slick in terms of getting us up to speed with the training, but also how they got a database, basically, that they go through and you'll get little summaries of perhaps people you might be interested in, and they vet you through a whole process. But the whole thing is you've got somebody with you who's basically looking to suit you best to a situation. Now, that's down to things like geography, perhaps, is one thing, where someone is based, because it's national. So obviously the training was people all over the UK there, but also suited to really your profile. They call it sort of the portrait of you. So they get, spend a bit of time with you, get to understand who you are. So really quite excited to see what the next stage would be. But it does, I think the thing about it is you've got that structure. You can set boundaries, and they're very encouraging of that. So for us, it seems quite a safe way to get into something like that as well, because you know that you've actually got there's a whole charity behind it.
So if you could sort of describe what Safe for Families is in sort of one or two sentences, what would you say?
You're helping, you're getting alongside families and just offering that support perhaps they wouldn't have with their own families or people around them. You're helping people through crisis, basically.
It's a good example of how you can support families and children, particularly almost around foster, because we talk obviously in the pod about fostering and adoption, but it's a way you can support, children in need or families in another way, isn't it? Thanks, Craig. That's really helpful, because I didn't know much about SAFE. So it's Safe Families, so people can Google that to find out a bit more. This weekend marks the start of Foster Care Fortnight, which is 2 weeks where, particularly in the fostering community, we highlight the role of foster carers, the difference it makes, and kind of a bit of a celebration, but also an opportunity to tell people the good things about fostering. And the theme this Foster Care Fortnight is fostering moments. So we thought on our camp, we would share not just fostering moments, but some of our parenting, adoption or fostering moments from our kind of lives, just to get us started on Foster Care Fortnight. So, I don't know. Andy, would you like to start with your parenting moment?
Of course I would. Well, obviously mine's not a fostering moment. Mine's an adoption moment, but happy to give my moment for Fostering Fortnight about families and parenting. So, when I was preparing, I was thinking, what would be one of the most standout moments from my parenting tenure? I think one that definitely stands out is the day which I met my children for the very first time. Up to that point, when you're going through the pre-adoption process, we were given one black and white photo, very grainy, to make the decision, do we want to adopt these children or not? And you say, yes, of course we do want to adopt these children. And then later down the tracks, the kids' social worker actually took some video footage of them playing in their lounge, which was great, seeing them kind of playing. We didn't have what we would call first glimpses. Have you ever been involved with first glimpses, Joe? But that's where foster carers would take the children to a play park or a McDonald's, and the potential adopters would be close by to see them. We didn't have that at all. So actually the first time we saw our children in the flesh was the day we met them. And I remember in the morning, you go to a big meeting, all the social workers are there, representatives from the local authority are there, and they're saying, right, you definitely want to do this because you're about to meet your children. And you're like, yep, we're up for it. And like, okay, right, off you go then to meet your children. I thought, oh my goodness, this is the moment we've been building up to for the last 11 months. We jump in the car, drive to their foster carers who were out, it was all kind of pre-planned, and we parked maybe 50 yards before their flat. And we saw then their car kind of fly past. Oh my goodness, they're in that car. And the heartbeat was going fast and the adrenaline was kind of getting more and more. And then they got out of the car and I thought, oh my goodness, that's our children. And they were so small. We knew the ages of them, but for some reason they just looked smaller than I anticipated. And I remember what my daughter was wearing. She was wearing a lovely yellow dress. Just that moment, realising, I'm about to meet my children. I was thinking, wow, what it'd be like when you get handed that baby in the labour ward and the midwife gives it to the father, and you hear a lot of dads saying, oh, that's the moment you realise you're going to be a dad. For me, at that moment, seeing my children, my daughter was skipping towards her flat in absolute excitement because they had been told they were going to meet their forever family today. So that was a real special moment for me and our family.
That's a really lovely moment. That's lovely. I share mine. I suppose so. Yours, but I guess in a sentence, I'm thinking of a hashtag now. It would be what, meeting my adopted children for the first time. It's a long hashtag.
Hashtag forever family.
Something like that. Brilliant. Thanks, Andy. Yeah, my one along kind of similar lines. So mine's definitely a fostering moment. So we'll all remember lockdown and what that was like, and all stuck in our homes. And we were fostering throughout lockdown a little girl who we had from birth. She was with us for over two years. And I can remember in lockdown, I think for about 6 months, did online contact with her forever family. So it was a kinship placement. So these were members of her extended family who were going to become her kinship carers or SGO, her forever family. And for 6 months, they met with her online. They read her stories. They sang nursery rhymes. They put silly hats on. They dressed up. They were so good at engaging with her on this computer screen. And I remember just thinking how sad it was that she couldn't see them in person. But my fostering moment was, after that sort of 6 months of having to stay on a screen, was when they could come to our house and come to our garden and meet her for the first time. And so similar to yours in that way. And just seeing how her face lit up when she saw them, how comfortable she felt with them straight away because of all the work they'd put in to those times of contact on the internet, on the video calls. And just seeing how lovely the family were with her. It was such a special memory for me in terms of fostering. Really special. And I think they've become very close friends, and they're people we see quite regularly, and we see them very much as part of our sort of extended family, really. That's definitely one of the real highlights of fostering for me. So Craig, as our special guest, do you have a parenting moment you want to share?
Now you've laid that out.
No, it can be. The other one I was going to say was a poo in the bath. When one of our boys did a poo in the bath, and we had to fish it out, and it caused mayhem in our house. But I went for a more serious one. But you can do whatever you like.
So I was thinking about this. I was thinking to myself, probably back around lockdown again as well, is when we managed to actually finally get out of the flipping house, which actually, in its own right, spending that time with the family was really quite special, also challenging. Our first holiday, we found a lovely little place, very good value for money, right on the Pembrokeshire coast, about 10 minutes away from a beach, and the weather was just lovely. And just going out each day just as a family unit, there's barely anyone there. It's just a really nice moment. I know it seems quite simple, it's just a holiday, but just that whole thing, just those memories are quite treasured. And another one of my maybe sort of picking up my youngest in terms of, like, they share a room at the moment. Quite often we take the smaller one out if there's a bit of disruption, because he's a bit easier to carry into the other room late at night. And just picking him out of the bed, him sort of just curling around me as I carry him in, it's just so nice, it's so gorgeous. Just reminds me of, like, when I was a kid and being picked up by my parents. It's just that connection. My son, he's 7 now. It's just a really nice feeling. Yeah, there we are. 3 things in the one that you asked.
Thanks, Craig. That's good. Very thorough.
Oh, thorough. Yes.
Thorough. No, appreciate it. Thank you for your parenting memory. Apologies if there's any sort of strange crackling noise in the background. Andy's been tending to our campfire whilst we're talking. It's very impressive. Apologies for that. So, Andy, one thing. So, I've started to get some feedback. I know you have as well, from people we know and people we shared the pod with, asking how they can support the pod. What they can do. So what are some of the things people can do if they want to support what we're doing and help us on our way to creating this podcast?
Well, I believe the podcast is on lots of platforms. YouTube, you can like and subscribe. And what's the bell thing? So they get to hear when we upload the new pods?
Notifications, yeah. So you get notified when there's a new pod uploaded.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm very old. I think we're on other platforms. Apple?
Yep, we're on all the major platforms. So Apple, just about on Apple, on Spotify, Amazon Music. Podbean is the sort of web-based one, so you can listen to us on those, download. But what would really help is if people can follow and subscribe on those, and particularly on YouTube, it would be great as well if people could maybe put a few comments. If you want to put some positive, supportive comments or any questions about what we're talking about, or maybe even suggestions about topics you'd like us to cover in the future, it'd be fantastic. It just helps us know that there are people listening and that we're not just talking into the void, isn't it, Andy?
That'd be nice. Yeah, it'd be good.
It would be nice. Okay, so as we always like to do at the end of our podcast, we always like to finish with something a little bit different. So we're going to continue the theme of sort of moments. We've been talking about parenting and fostering moments. But I thought we could share, just quickly, maybe sort of like a friendship moment. So something, a memory we have of our friendship with each other. So who wants to go first?
Well, you go first, Craig.
Craig's got a good one, I'm sure.
A good one? Well, you said, well, you know, I mean, I've got loads of memories of you guys. You guys are awesome ones. But, you know, just quickly off the cuff then, you know, garlic salt. Mm-mm.
Oh, no. Who's going to tell it?
You offered it up to me first.
Okay, so Craig, you tell the story.
Oh, well, didn't we have Joe around to ours at some point when we were students and we fed him and it was probably something I made. Oh, wonderful, I'm sure. Joey returned the favour and did us a lasagna. But instead of garlic... which he would chop up normally and put in and sort of, you know, caramelise beautiful. He used garlic salt, which is quite a thing. So it's quite salty, wasn't it? I'm telling the right story there.
Well, yeah, I put garlic
in. Tell me a bit about it.
And then I didn't have any salt, so I put garlic salt in. So I think it was just
what?
A bit more garlicky.
Whatever it was, it was incredibly salty. It did taste quite nice, to be fair. And you could tell he'd put the effort in. But we were like, oh, it's really nice, as we were shriveling up.
I thought it was quite nice myself.
It was quite nice. It wasn't really edible, is the problem.
It looked good.
It did look good, yeah.
Well, thank you for that moment, Craig.
So apparently, it both came to my mind.
Was that the same night that you got knocked off your bike on the way home?
I didn't. I told you.
You didn't tell us.
Yeah.
You told us like a year later that you got knocked off your bike on a major roundabout. And you just didn't tell us.
It wasn't really a... It wasn't a big... I felt strangely alive. I wouldn't recommend it, but... Yeah. I was absolutely fine.
Yeah, you should tell us these things.
I was more worried about the bike, but it was a minor thing. I just got cut up.
So I'll share mine. So Andy's got a bit of time to think of another one. You've got to think of another one, yeah. It was loads. Over 25 years, there's got to be a few. So mine was more about Andy, but it's a good one. So apologies, Craig. Mm-hmm. So when we were probably about 15 and we were in a youth group together, we used to travel around the country quite a bit and go to other youth groups with our youth leader. And it was great. And one of these times, we were going to, I think it was a place called Newbury. And we were very excited. And Andy, at that time, was particularly fashionable and liked to appeal to the ladies with his clothing. And he'd bought a new pair of cream combat trousers. They were beautiful, lovely, lovely, well-pressed combat trousers. Very slightly baggy, again, a little bit nighty, exactly. A bit like the cool kids wear. Yeah, and they were cream combat trousers. And in this tiny car, we were sat in the back. I'd been eating chocolate raisins for the whole journey. And Andy had probably been asking for them, and I'd been saying no. Not giving. So we got there, and then as Andy walked in front of all the group of girls and stuff, we were all waiting to woo. I noticed he'd been sitting on some of my chocolate raisins for the whole journey. So he had large brown stains all over his backside. Probably one of my best memories, oddly. Andy, what about yours?
It was very fashionable. It was beige. Yeah, combat trousers.
Beige.
Oh, yeah, the 90s. That was good. Well, probably the noughties back then. Thank you, Joe, for that. Well, I think the fact that Craig and I picked the same memory must have burnt on our souls.
I don't know why that one. It's just
the I mean, they say the water in with the cooking pasta has to be saltier than the sea. But I think Joe must have gone to the Dead Sea and got all the salt from the Dead Sea pans and put it in his lasagna. I mean, lots of interesting, cool moments that we've all had. I remember Joe sitting on a pine chair once and leaning forward and snapping the front panel off it.
It was a solid pine chair, wasn't it?
Solid pine chair.
Yeah. I think we were visiting some people who'd moved to, is it Milton Keynes?
I think you broke their chair they were going to take to their new home, yeah.
Yeah, well, I think they're quite new. Yeah,
they're quite new. So that was entertaining. But the salty lasagna comes a close second.
Interesting. There we go. Thanks for highlighting me breaking a solid wooden chair, Andy. I appreciate that lots. Well, thank you everyone for listening. I hope it's been helpful, and we do hope you have a good foster care fortnight if you're involved and attending any events. And do look out for our social media platforms. So we've been I've been trying to work out the Instagram this week. So look out for us on Instagram, because I don't really understand it. But we're going to get on there, and then you'll all see us. But it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
Testing, testing. The wine has fallen over. Someone's wine has fallen over.
It hasn't, has it?
Let's test distance. Yeah, it has, Greg. I don't think it was my fault. It's not my fault. Not that I have a secret vendetta against red wine. Maybe I do. Ooh, I'm gonna sit here. I can really hear your breathing on the headphones.